Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Down Under and Up. And today we'll be interviewing Ruby Walker from Australia, who is part of the school strike for climate. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And Ruby sees what is taking place here with the natural environment that supports all of us, and how the world controllers or the politicians are not supporting the natural environment that supports all of us. And so she is taking her time to demonstrate that she sees what makes sense and that others aren't doing so. And Ruby's in New South Wales in Australia, and she's bravely stepped up to come on a radio show today and share her experiences with us. And so welcome, Ruby. Did you want to say anything else about yourself and why you decided to go on strike for climate?
Hello. We just went on strike because this is just such an important issue, and it's really very upsetting to see that our government is just so apathetic towards it, especially when you see other countries trying to move forward and we're just kind of stagnant at the moment. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. And so when did you start noticing, you know, at school, like, what's really happening to the environment? Like, you know, like you said, how you want, you know, no more, you know, fossil fuels being burned, and how the air is being polluted and poisoned. And when did you start to understand what's taking place here?
I feel like in my schooling, we've always been told that ever since primary school. It was kind of just common knowledge that fossil fuels aren't that great for the environment, and that what we're doing needs to be more sustainable in our practices and everyday lives. I think it really started to hit home when in high school we started doing geography and like would go more in depth with it, seeing how like big companies pollute and what we do that is really like taking a toll on the environment. And also last year, with our government, especially with the Paris Agreement and a lot of like controversy going on with whether or not we've made our demands to become more sustainable and move away from fossil fuels, really like just like really instilled into me that this is a really big issue, and we may not solve it where we are. But yeah, like a lot of things have just increased, like tensions, especially with the Adani mine going ahead. And that was just so shocking to see that our government wanted to support this mine when I feel like everyone knew that it's not going to be healthy for our environment. It's only going to cause more havoc, especially CSIRO, which is our like science center in Australia, put out a report that it would not be that great. So that was really like intense to me to see that. And with we're in it, my state at the moment is actually in 100% drought, and it's like drought's a normal thing for Australia, like happens every couple of years, but this drought in particular has been just so insanely hot, and we've been constantly having new like extreme heat waves and more bushfires, and that's just like such a wake-up call that it's not normal. And then seeing it around the world as well just really hit home for me.
Thanks, Ruby. Sounds like you're paying attention. It's cool. And you also said, you know, you've got this pollution in your waterways as well as the severe drought and heat waves, and there's fish being killed, and, you know, the waters where you are. And yeah, there's a lot going on. And like you said, it's happening all around the world. And the lobbyists are talking to the government, and they want things like these mines to go ahead so the controlling corporations can continue to earn their, you know, crazy amounts of money. But it's cool you guys are stepping up and doing something. You know, lots of people are not doing anything. So I was wondering if you could tell us what it's like when you're striking, like how many kids you're with, and what you guys talk about, or what's the kind of, you know, vibe or energy, you know, when you guys are out there together. We've watched some videos of places like Belgium, and, you know, these kids are very, very passionate about the environment. I was just wondering if you could share your experience of while you're you're striking out there in the public.
Yeah, for sure. I know that I feel like a lot of the energy comes with like the build up to the strike, like planning it out, like what you're going to do for the day and all that kind of thing. I actually live in a fairly rural area. My town's only got 12,000 people. So when we went on strike, there was probably only 30 people that actually turned up to my, like in the town. But even that was like fairly incredible just to see that there were students from like every grade that managed to like come down and wanted to listen to what was being said. I know we organised like all the different strikes, organised to have speakers. Where I was, we had some Labor representatives from the Labor Party in our region. Glenn Morris, he owns an organic fig farm, and he came to talk about climate change and his own personal experiences. And David Towns, who was an activist specifically for climate change, came and spoke as well. The next strike, we're intending to have a lot more students to talk about what we're seeing, what we believe is going to happen, and what needs to be done. I know in the cities, it's just crazy. Like there was, I think it was 10,000 or 15,000 people locked up in Melbourne and Sydney. And it was just like insane to see that many students just all together walking through the street and just having that, like their energy is pretty insane. I imagine where they are. I like so many like-minded people like rally together to really drive the point home and fight for what you believe in. But in the rural areas, it's a bit tougher because I feel like where I'm from, it's a little bit redneck. There's a lot of people that don't believe in climate change and think it's actually had one man when I was putting up posters around town came up and stopped me and he told me that it's all socialist propaganda. It's all a ploy by the government to ruin small businesses. And so like a lot of backwards ideas out there from people, but they generally don't show up for the strike. So it's all right.
Cool. And how many strikes have you been on so far?
I think in Australia there's only been one national strike. I'm not too sure with other people if they've had more, but for me I've just been on one, and that was the 30th November. That was like a lot of planning to do, and then we're going to have another one the 15th of March, which is a global strike. So I'm expecting that one to be really big and have plans to organize a lot more people to speak and maybe have like some live music to really get people to come and listen to what it's all about. Because it's like it feels like we're educated on the issue, there's so many other people that just don't understand, like especially other students that don't pay attention, really want to try and get them to come with the strike. So yeah, I've only been on one at the moment, but plan to make that more.
So, hey, Ruby, this is Kelsey. Thanks for coming on our show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see you and so many young people out there physically and on the internet and just letting people know what's going on with our environment. It's wonderful. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So I just wanted to ask you, are you in communication with these kids around the world? Do you Skype each other, or do you all strike at the same time, same hour, or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. I'm not personally in contact with people overseas that are striking, but there's like a massive network in Australia. We've got the School Strike for Climate Action. It's a Facebook page, a group, and we share a lot of stuff into there, and we like swap ideas of like what we need to plan next and like just all things surrounding climate change. I'm contacted by a lot of students around Australia who are about it. And I know that we've started to set up, we're in the process of setting up like a better network so we can manage what we're going to do with the media, what to do with the strikes and all the rest of that. And have, I know for the cities especially, have meetings. I think it's called Slack. It's like a version of Skype, pretty much. But I'm sure there's like other students for sure that are in contact with people overseas, especially like in Germany and Britain, that kind of thing, but I'm not personally.
That's wonderful. The internet. I've seen so many groups, and that's how we found you and all the videos. I just did put some videos on my YouTube channel of Greta and some other kids that are talking about the climate and get some more awareness for other children to wake up and pay attention and become more aware, because it is all of our earth and we're going to have to deal with what these adults and governments are deciding. So you're doing your next strike, and is it just high schoolers, or do you have elementary school kids coming out, or what does it look like? Are there university students too? I think we might have different terms, but for the grade level.
Okay. For the school strike, it's meant to be pretty much like primary school kids from ages 5 and then to high school, so 17, 18. But this strike round, we're inviting everyone in the communities to come, business owners, just anyone, adults, kids with their younger kids, just anyone who's about the cause. This one's open for anyone. And I know that we've been starting to get in touch with more businesses to partner up. So I think we've got a major ad agency, I can't remember the name of, who's decided to help support us, and a few different whole food, health food companies. And I think we're getting in touch with some unions as well to help support. So it's while it's meant to be centered about the students fighting for our future, if anyone can participate, and we want them to, from the whole wider community.
That's really cool, Ruby. And I was wondering what your teachers think when you don't show up to school. What do they say about the whole ordeal? What's their view on you guys seeing that the environment is more important than going to school?
I feel a lot of the teachers, they understand it. They can't get involved because working for the government, you have to be apolitical. But they definitely understand that if you don't have an environment, then you're not going to have anything, and there's no point coming to school if that's what it is. But I've definitely had lots of encouragement from my teachers to really stand up to this, and they really push home that you need to have something in your life that you want to fight for, and they're really on board with it. I'm not too sure about other teachers around Australia, because like I said, you have to be apolitical, but I feel like most of them are on board generally with it all, so it's really great.
Well, that's cool. So you're not getting in any trouble, or they're not using any fear tactics to keep you at school instead of going out and marching?
Well, for me personally, I just kind of do what I like. They can't stop me. But I know that my school's had people ringing up, questioning the principal, and wondering what's all happening with it, thinking that they're involved. So I think they're only really annoyed that that's happening, but it's completely separate from the school, so they can't really do anything about it. I know that the other high school in my town, they issued a thing on their Facebook page saying that the student body won't be involved, which I thought was kind of funny, but kids from their school turned up anyway. They can't really do too much, just mark you absent, or your parent calls up to say that you're away on a special and important meeting, then they can't really do anything. So I'm not sure about the private schools. That's probably another story.
Well, that's cool, Ruby. I like that you do what you like. We support the natural environment that supports us too, and we see that we can make our own decisions, and that everybody decides their own life and makes their own decisions. So that's very cool that you're seeing and doing that as well. And so it sounds like your parents are supportive of what you see and decide with the striking for climate.
Yeah, for sure. I feel so lucky. My parents have always been really supportive, and their political mindset as well influenced me to be more aware of what's happening. I know there's other students that their parents aren't as in on it, so they're really it's themselves that are pushing them. I know there's one of my mates, his parents don't believe in climate change, so so proud of him, especially because he's younger. He's come and helped, makes a sign, is just really into it. So Yeah, no, my parents are supportive, but a lot of the other students, their parents aren't so much, yeah, but
hi,
they're still doing it.
Hi, how are you, everyone? Sorry, they opened my microphone, so I have to say something so they don't close my microphone. Anyway, so are you guys in Australia or you are in USA?
I'm from Australia. I'm Rudy.
Okay, yes.
I'm a student.
That's right. Okay, good. Nice to meet you. You know, you Australian people are very diverse indeed. And you guys are more into think globally, act locally. But in the United States, unfortunately, is the people mind is closed. I don't know. Is it because of the 5G network or because of too much people here? When they walk, they follow their Twitter and Instagram, etc. And they walk. And then they run our cars here around them, and then they, you know, they have problems. And you know, Australia is different. Am I right or wrong? Go ahead, please.
I feel like everywhere you go, there's going to be people that are progressive, and then there's going to be people that don't have an idea in their head and are very like unaware about things. I feel like Australia at the moment is, with our current government, it's the people in government at the moment, they're the people that don't seem to have fear in their head. And I know in like a lot of rural communities, there's always going to be someone that's backwards and doesn't understand or want to know. But yeah, there's definitely lots of people that are very on board and open-minded to a lot of things.
Yeah, I know, because this topic is very important. That Australian school strike for climate change. So, I mean, I wish, I'm Mike from Singapore, anyway, I let you know. So in Singapore, I mean, we have added and make artificial island 33 miles more because we have so much population getting more, so they have to build more housing, high-rise buildings. So, you know, I have seen a lot of places, you know, I not yet go to Australia, but I know the fact Singapore and Australia, we have free trades, we have a lot of signed contracts with each other. And unfortunately, in the United States, we have always the problem. I mean, it's like, it's a global economy, global order, and we don't want, we want to be nationalistic. I mean, it's good to be nationalistic, but it's time to be, I mean, I love my country, but now I love all the world too. We have to add that part. And that's the problem in the United States. They don't get it. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You definitely, if you help the countries around you and you really build good international relations, then that's only going to benefit you more and create a better bond and just generally make things better, I feel like.
Yeah, and globalism is peace, nationalism is war. And we see in the United States, we have so much racism, so much cops shooting minorities, etc. And I don't know about your country, Australia, because I do watch Channel 7 Australia. You guys are, is it very same or is totally different? Crime, etc.
Yeah, I feel like we don't really have an issue with guns, so we don't really have people getting shot, but there's still definitely a bit of racism embedded in our country, especially with the Indigenous peoples and Torres Strait Islanders. They're in like surveys that the UN's done that they're still at a disadvantage, and we still have like a high rate of Aboriginal people in prison. So I feel like there's definitely still like racism and disadvantage in our country, but I don't know. I'd like to think it's getting better.
Right. But in Singapore, we have very, very crime, very, very low crime here in Singapore. Because, you know, even if you put $100 SGD out in the walk, nobody picks it up. Because even you want to pick it up and show it, give it to the police, but that's, everybody here mind their own business, basically. And crime, we have some crime, petty, says robot. Otherwise, Singapore is one of the safest country in the world.
Didn't know that.
Thanks for calling in, caller.
You're welcome.
I see you must have called in via Skype, did you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Okay, cool. And yeah, we see that everybody in every country can get along just fine if everybody had the same focus of supporting the natural environment that supported them, which would be wonderful, and that could take place in the future as more children or students like Ruby step up and do things that make sense. So it's really cool. And Ruby, I was wondering what you see as your next step when once you leave school, you're about to graduate, and what's next for you?
I feel like definitely going to keep on with the advocacy and still fighting that fight. But I recently was privileged enough to go and attend the National Youth Science Forum in Canberra, which is just like intense science and just like a big sciencey nerd camp. That's just the best thing ever. And got to have a lot of lectures with just like really well-known scientists in Australia, and did a lot of climate change and environmental focus areas. And I think for me, that's had like a massive impact in what I want to do after school. And I think what I want to do the most is probably go into environmental management and do journalism, maybe as a double degree, and have a focus on our water, because that's really a massive issue here. At the camp, they told us some like really just like eye-opening statistics of what our reality is here. And in Australia, I think they said it was our water is going to be at a higher risk by 2070. And other places around the world are going to really struggle with climate change as it gets hotter. And the statistic for Sudan was they'll probably run out of water by 2050 if that's how we keep going. So I feel like I definitely want to go down that path of protecting the environment, of course, that's always going to be it for me. But I think water is going to be my focus, and possibly go into policy making, because that's where it makes the big difference. I feel like a lot of scientists we got to speak to were doing incredible work in their fields, and all of these incredible discoveries of the environment and new technology. But they said that their biggest barrier was just dealing with a government that didn't believe in climate change or just doesn't support it. I know in Australia, since 2013, when we changed to the coalition government, climate change research dropped by 80%. So Australia's definitely in a rut right now, but that's the whole point of the strikes, is to get momentum and change that. But yeah, no, definitely like water management and environment. That's what I want to go down to with university for sure.
Wow, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing, Ruby. And there's one thing you might not have heard of. It's called primary water, and you can look this up on YouTube, seeing as you're interested in water. And it's actually this water that you're not taught about in school or in the university systems, where we're taught secondary water, and all secondary water comes from primary water, and primary water is deep beneath the Earth's crust, where hydrogen and oxygen merge together through the heat of the Earth's mantle, and they form water. And there's actually an unlimited, basically, supply of water because of the heat in the Earth's crust always producing water. And one of the reasons why we don't know about this is because the world controllers, the governments and political systems, want to create scarcity and fear in people. So I can send you a link after the show, and you can maybe learn about primary water, which is something really cool. Something that, I don't know if you heard of, what was the guy's name in Libya? Gaddafi. Yeah, the Gaddafi. He was a president in Libya, and he had found primary water, and he was getting water to everybody in Algeria, which is, you know, in the top of the Sahara there. And it was really cool. Anyway, they someone decided they didn't like that, and he got murdered. But primary water is definitely around, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely love to read about that and see what's around that. That sounds like that would be a very interesting thing to study and create technology to harness it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like I said, Gaddafi did it, and other people can do it, and they will do in the future as they're forced to look for other alternatives, for sure. So, Ruby, we have a couple of callers on here. We have Tim from Oregon. Did you want to ask something, Tim, to Ruby?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Ribazar Tars, a historical naturalist?
What was that one? Could you repeat that? Sorry.
Ribazar Tars, a historical naturalist?
No, I haven't heard of that, actually.
He's part of the what's called Universal Guides, providing real guidance and a real education.
Okay, yeah, so what does that entail?
Pardon?
So what does that entail?
If you sing New You before you go to sleep, like for 15 minutes or so, and sincerely want to be having guidance, then they'll see, Ribazar and the Universal Guides will see that you really do want some guidance, and they'll be helping to provide guidance and a real education about what a person can do, because we're treating symptoms of these reptilians. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I have.
Well, they're causing lots of the problems of the physical stuff going on Earth. So they're the cause. And so what we can do is like yourself, try to counter their effects from their cause. But what really is important is that the new you gives us a connection to try to earn our way out of this creation stuff, psych realms, into real universes where there are no shortages or pollution or anything like that. Have you ever heard of the new presentation?
No, I haven't.
Or like Kelsey and Henry, and Dwayne, Ava, they're worldwide, wonderful worldwide educators.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds bad.
You might want to check out Ribazar Tars. You might.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Good talking with you.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Yeah, so Ruby, after this interview, I can send you a book that the founder of our nonprofit, Dwayne Lee Heppner, and we have a website in the description of the show here called DwayneLeeHeppner.club that all the listeners can go to. And he's written a book called The Waking Child, and it's all about how you can wake up to what's really taking place here and gain real experiences on the real side of life is when your physical body is asleep, when people call dreams at night. So I can send you the book as a PDF and you can share it with your friends if you like. And anyone listening can contact Ruby and ask her about the book later. And yeah, that'll be cool. So we have one more caller on here. We have Claudie from Texas. Did you have any questions for Ruby, Claudie? Are you there, Claudie?
Okay, I don't hear Claudia. This is Kelsey again. And Tim brought up we're worldwide educators. We're wonderful worldwide educators. So actually we're with a lot of nonprofits that Henry might have told you about, and one of them is DwayneLeeHepner.club, and that's for the children and the natural environment. And so we actually share solutions with how to better support the natural environment, like the Native Americans did, and how we can not poison it. So we have a lot of videos, and we're learning a lot and connecting with people that are actually turning their cars to run on water and using technologies like Tesla technologies. And instead of the Wi-Fi radiation and the microwave, we've met people that know how to use the Earth's magnetic field to where you can still have Wi-Fi and wireless, and it will actually heal your physical body, because right now the 5G and the Wi-Fis, they're causing tumors and cancers, and they're actually splitting DNAs, and that's all in our air as well. So there is a whole lot going on, and we do have a business plan that a few of our friends from around the world, because we're a worldwide nonprofit, they wrote up a business plan for all solar research vessels. So I don't know if you've, Ruby, ever considered starting self-sufficient communities, or I know that we go to the governments and we try to get them to listen to us, and like Greta's video, they basically don't listen, so there you and everyone is, and you're stepping up and saying what you are, and you're just seeing that you have to decide to do something. So we were seeing as an idea for some of the young people is to move the agreement away from these corporations and governments that are destroying the earth. People could come together, and especially young people, because you're aware and this is your future, start to create these communities that are more self-sufficient, and then people can agree to that and start to flock to that one step at a time, one person at a time, especially the youth, the kids that have time after school or during school, if you're striking, and I'm sure there's a lot of homeschool kids too, because it is an emergency, like Greta said on her videos, treating it as a crisis, because that's where we're at. So if you're interested, I can send you that PDF to learn a little bit more about what we've put together with hemp. So using hemp instead of the petroleum-based products that are in everything, and plastics, and also bamboo. Building homes out of bamboo, and even there's AI technology that we can use to carve canals. There's just so many things that we can put together, and as people step up, and especially you, because you're how old you are, you're so young, and then the people that you talk to, you can really make a difference and do something here. So have you been looking at ways to move away from what it is that people are doing with the petroleum, with the cars, or have you found anything interesting or new technologies that you would like to share with us or with the listeners, with the youth?
Yeah, I've definitely heard about a lot of those different things you're telling me about. I'd love through that video. I know that I'm not too sure about like with personal stuff, with like your cars and that kind of thing, but I know that there's a company in my town, Bindery Beef, that it's just an abattoir where you see cows and that, and I know that they created this biogas facility where they turn whatever waste products they get from the cows, they turn that into energy. And I think the statistic was that they've saved $18,000 by not having to use electricity from the grid through just using this biogas. I thought that was pretty cool, impressive. Definitely been looking into hemp a lot. In Australia, industrial hemp only just got made legalized last year, 2017. So there's not much of an industry right now, but that's something like I'm definitely passionate about, and I think will really take off the next few years when farmers and other companies can take a hold of that, for sure.
Yeah, hemp is a wonderful product, and that's cool what you mentioned with the energy source that the farmers are using. There's so many cool ways that people can use technology to support the natural environment, and these things will just become used even more so in years to come. And it's cool that people like you are seeing these things and paying attention to what makes sense. We really appreciate that, and it's like a breath of fresh air to hear you share these things. And yeah, hemp is something that we've looked into a lot, and we will be, you know, growing in the future. And yeah, it's like you said, it's a wonderful plant. It grows so fast. It can be used to do everything oil does. Plus, you can eat it and you can feed it to animals, and it can regenerate soils. And yeah, it's just become legal in the United States and New Zealand and lots of other countries recently too. So yeah, that's cool. You can build houses out of it. Hempcrete, it's fireproof. It's thermodynamic and all sorts of wonderful things. There's actually a company in Australia called Zeoform. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they build things, anything really that, you know, like can be made out of plastic, furniture, just about anything with a very simple process of it's just water, plant cellulose. And they usually use hemp because it's such a, you know, because it grows so fast and it's such, the fibers are so strong, and they're a really cool company, and we're hopefully going to have them on our show in the next few weeks. So yeah, you could look them up. Zeoform, it's a cool little Australian company that are making sense of things too.
Yeah, that's great. I think also for Australia, the fact that you get a higher yield with less water than cotton, like an insanely higher yield, that's really important because Australia has like limited water because we're in drought too, so hemp's the way to go for sure.
Yes, for sure. And you know, cotton is mainly just used for clothes, and you know, something crazy like 60% of all the pesticides in the world are used on cotton or something, and everybody wears it and it gets absorbed into their skin. And hemp doesn't need any pesticides or anything, and like you said, you don't have to water it, and every part of the plant can be used for something. So it's really cool and wonderful. And yeah, like I said, it's really cool that you know these things and you can share them with people as you go out into the public and meet people. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I would suggest you go through our business plan and incorporate some of those ideas with where you live, either in your own home or your community, and see what you can come up with and what projects that you can come up with some of the people that are actually paying attention to what it is you're doing, and just do something cool and wonderful and fun and just take it to the next step. I mean, you've stepped up huge on the world here. We're in the United States and we're seeing what you're doing in Australia. It's just absolutely wonderful. So I just suggest to keep it up, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And please let your friends know about our show and share with them the business plan that we have with the All Solar Self-Sufficient Vessels and Communities, and also the Waking Child book. I'll give it back up.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ruby. Kelsey,
yeah, thanks for having me.
Did you want to add anything else there, Ruby, before we end the show today?
I think just that we're going to keep doing what we're doing no matter what, and I feel like this year is going to be the year where a lot of things change in Australia, especially for government and all of that. It's going to be a year of great change for sure, and thank you so much for having me. Very enlightening.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ruby, and we'll keep in touch, and And we look forward to hearing how your next strike goes and your strikes in the future, and watch the progress of you and your friends and the school strike for climate in Australia and around the world. And the next few weeks, like I said, we'll be interviewing students in different countries, Belgium, Sweden, Germany, and we'll see who else shows up. So thanks, Ruby, again. You're the first one to step up and as a student striking for climate change on our show. This has been Down Under and Up, and we appreciate everybody for listening. And you can click any of the links here at the website to find out more about what we do, or you can contact Ruby Walker on Facebook as well. So thanks, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.